Okay, praise God. Well, thank you, Priscilla. I appreciate that. And I was, Linda and I watch a lot of news, or I tend to read more than I watch, but trying to keep up on current events and you know, knowing what's going on, having some idea at least what to pray about. I won't say what to do about it. A lot of times we don't know what to do about it, but we pray, and we think. And sometimes if you focus on all of that, it can look pretty grim. We think about the economy. I went and looked yesterday at the national debt clock. It's not going to be too long before it hits $28 trillion. The numbers on the end roll so fast you can't keep up with them. It's just a blur. The people have lost jobs because of the COVID thing. You've got the whole COVID thing now. Depending on your perspective, things may look more or less grim, but it's just a tough time right now. We think about security. We do still have threats from outside the country. We do still have terrorists, real ones, not the ones that have been made up over the past couple of weeks. We do still have a concern with immigration. They're amassing now at the border because they know they're fixing to be let in. We have lawlessness in major cities across the country that we've never seen before. Our society seems to be just completely falling apart. We've got still the racial tensions. We've got a level of violence that we haven't seen in decades. Families are broken. Fatherlessness is worse than it's ever been. Marriages are falling apart. And we've got sin even inside the church. The people living in ways that they know that are not right. And, we should, of course, accept sinners in the church. That's what we're here for, right? To reach sinners. But it's something else when people within the church are claiming to be living for the Lord, and yet they're not. They're doing things that are obviously not condoned by Scripture. And of course, we have the murder of innocents going on more than 9/11 every day. Politics. I wouldn't even want to get started on politics. But as much as we get upset about politics and what's going on and what's been going on, politics reflects society, especially in our country, where we have the ability to choose our leaders. Now, we can argue about what just happened, but regardless of which way you think it should have gone, roughly half of us are not in agreement either way. And so we ask for what we got. And now we'll see what we got. And so the question comes up, and I've asked this question before, the answer seems to have been not yet, although I don't know. These things take time. They don't happen overnight. But I've asked the question, are we under judgment? We don't know. Nobody's... some people have said some things, but there's no consensus across the church. There's no prophetic vision that I know of that has been accepted as coming from the Lord on that subject. We do know that the Lord uses nature. We do know that the Lord uses a nation's enemies for judgment. We know this from Israel's example. And we also know that the trouble starts from inside the nation. It doesn't start from outside. When it comes from outside and the nation's living right, God protected them. And they ended up being the victorious. But God would be just if that's the case. He's been very merciful to us up to this point, but how long will he wait? What can we do? What we can do, for one thing, is take responsibility. We are his people. We belong to him. We are called by his name. Each of us, according to various scriptures, but 1 Peter 2:5 is probably one of the ones that's more well known. We're called a royal priesthood. Well, what does a priest do? A priest's purpose is reconciliation between God and man. All of us are supposed to be about that. So speak the truth. Repent of our own sin. He has been known to delay. If you one example would be in 2 Kings 22 with the story of King Josiah. Manasseh had already been come and gone. God had already said, that's enough. I'm not having any more of this. But because Josiah, when he found out how bad things were and how far they had gone away from God, and immediately humbled himself and set about making things right, God said, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until you're not here anymore because you humbled yourself before me, because you responded the way you did. And that is in keeping with what God said. In the passage that we're going to read today, comes from 2 Chronicles 7, 13, and 14. 7, 14 we all know really well. We hear it quoted all the time in this context that we should be in prayer for our nation. But in order to get a clearer picture of what's being said here, we need to back up a verse. We need to start in verse 13. So I'm going to do that. And he says, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, and if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. This passage comes in the context of the temple has just been built. Solomon has finished the temple. King Solomon finished the temple. He has finished the sacrifices, and the glory of God has come down and filled the temple so that nobody could even be in there. The sacrifices are completed, and God then speaks. And this is what he said, in part, what we just read. Now, this message that he spoke, of course, is to the nation of Israel. So we have to take care in appropriating it. Can we? Can we not? We always have to be looking at. We have to always have to look at things that way. I believe that at least in part we can, and I'll explain why. But there are definitely things we can learn. We can learn of God's nature. And we can learn from the history of Israel. But these two verses, as we've said, go together. And what God has given here is a prescription for a sinful nation that has come under judgment because of its behavior collectively. And so he says, if my people who are called by my name... That is, of course, obviously a reference to Israel, who has been called and chosen of God. But it applies also to us. It applies to us because of Jesus. Romans chapter 9, verses 25 and 26 says, as he says also in Hosea, I will call those who were not my people, my people. And her who is not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they should be called sons of the living God. You can also, there are similar passages in Romans 8, 29 and 30, and in Romans 10, chapter 12 and 13, if you wanted to note and go see what those said. But we call ourselves Christians. Well, what does Christian mean? It's derived, right, from the word Christ. We are saying, when we say that, that we belong to Christ, that we serve Christ, that we are of Christ. With that name comes authority. And with the authority comes responsibility. So then we're told what it is that we must do. Humble ourselves. You know, one of the things that can happen if we're good at keeping rules, if we're good at doing the things that we said we were going to do, or that God told us, we read the book, we follow everything we found in it, and we think that we've got it all together. We've kept all the laws, we've done everything right. Nobody does that, but we can get to the place where we think we do. And what can happen is that we become arrogant, and we start to think that we're really better. Exhibit A, the Pharisees, but we all know that happens today. But God tells us something else. He tells us in Proverbs, we all know the verse in 16:18 that pride goes before a fall or destruction, depending on your version that you read. But admission of sin, admission that we're not perfect, admission that we are flawed, requires a certain amount of humility. Think about Job. Now, Job was considered to be one of the most righteous men that ever lived. He was listed, three people were listed by the prophet Ezekiel as being particularly righteous. They were Noah and Daniel and Job. And of course, he's talking about judgment, and he's he's talking about, even if these three people were there, I'd save them, but I wouldn't save the rest of the nation. That's another message for another day. But the point is, these are held up as examples. But still, even though Job was of that kind of character, he was in no position to be challenging God about what God did in his life, or what God allowed in his life. And you can see that in chapters 38 through 42, if you read at the end of Job there. Consider Daniel. Daniel is also among those three. But when he prayed for his nation, one of the most righteous people ever to have lived, of course, Jesus tops them all. Jesus is the one that's only one that's sinless. But he prays in humility for his nation in Daniel chapter 9. And he says, we, including himself, have sinned. So humility is part of it. We have to be willing to come before God and say, I got a problem. And I'm sorry. And I need your help. But pray. Pray in repentance. Pray in intercession for our nation, for those around us, and pray with open ears. Because if we talked a few weeks ago about this, prayer ought to be a two-way thing. We ought to be hearing. So when we pray, we need to be ready to hear what God would say and then go and do it. Because it's about relationship. He says, seek my face. We talked about this before too. We're good at seeking his hand. We're good at saying, Lord, I need this, I need this, and that's okay. He told us to do that, but not first. First, we want to be seeking His face. We want to be seeking that relationship. We ought to be seeking to know Him, to hear from Him. Communication, where we're able to take instruction and then obey and act on that instruction, not out of obligation, but out of love. Turn, He says, turn from their wicked ways. Forgiveness requires repentance. There has never been a situation, there's not a situation that you can find where forgiveness is given without repentance, except, well, I can think of one thing that might qualify. Jesus on the cross, when He said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. You might say that was forgiveness without repentance, because certainly God responded. And then, of course, Peter would speak to those same people later on, and many of them would repent. But forgiveness requires repentance. And sin, unrepentant sin, creates a separation between us and God. Isaiah 59:2 talks about that. We often use it when we're sharing the gospel to explain what happens. It puts a barrier between us. He can't hear us, and we can't hear Him. God's people are supposed to be holy. And God will respond to that. He says, I will hear from heaven. And that's an active word there. It's not, He's not just saying, I can hear what you're saying. When that form is not only hearing, but acting. Because we've removed those communication barriers by getting our hearts right. And now we're in a place where we can interact. And He will, as He said here, He will forgive our sins. He will, only He can. Now this is on a national level that He's speaking here. So it's on an individual level, but it's also on a national level. He says, I will heal their land. Remove the judgment. Restore to health. We can come back. There is hope. So can we claim this? Well, there's arguments against it. Of course, one being that He's speaking to the nation of Israel here. He's not speaking to America. We're not Israel. We're not, you know, the people that try to say that we replaced Israel are wrong, terribly wrong. That's bad. It's worse than bad theology. But the message might be read very specifically, referring only to Israel and referring only to quote unquote acts of God. But on the other hand, and what I believe, for one thing, although there are many who have argued against it, America was built on foundations of Christian principle. Not everybody was perfect. Not everybody followed them. All flawed people. Not everybody that was involved was necessarily a believer. But the principles that were used came straight out of the Bible. Most of the people in that era were taught from the Bible. Kids learned to read out of the Bible. And most of the founders freely referenced the Bible and God in their quotations. You can find that if you go looking for it. We're guided by Christian principles. And the Scripture teaches us that Israel is a representative for all of us. The things that happened to Israel, both good and bad, are there. It's recorded in the history to teach us. God's nature is revealed in His relationship with Israel. And I believe that we can, if we will, as a nation, expect God to respond in a similar way if we will turn. Now, we are his people. Now, again, that's not everybody, of course, in the United States. We're not his people in the way that Israel were his people. But many of us who have given our hearts to him are here. We are his people, and it starts with us. God spares nations on account of his people. So, if we can do that, then there's a strong message here for the church. And we can't expect people who don't believe to do these things. They don't have the foundation for it. They don't believe it's true. They have no inclination or desire to do these things. This is a message for God's people. And it is our role to live holy before Yahweh, to make disciples as he told us to intercede on behalf of those around us. We live in troubled times. Judgment may be upon us. It would certainly be just. But judgment begins with us. We need to get our house in order. We have been given much. Therefore, much is required of us. And so our duty is to stand for the truth. And yes, our duty is to participate in our government. Our duty is to fight evil everywhere that we find it. But above all, more than anything else, preach the gospel. Because we must turn hearts if we're going to turn our country around. So help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we strive to understand and to do what's right, to do what you would have us to do. It's easy for us to get angry and want to fight and want to call people out. And you know, there are times when it's appropriate to speak and appropriate to call things out and speak the truth. But Lord, let us do it in love as you commanded. Let us be ready with the good news of the gospel, because that's the only thing that can save us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.